data is being used in lots of places and in lots of ways, from the grocery store to our jobs. And the show's Mark Brody is here with the story of some research that worries our data is being used against us. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Lauren. Yeah, so Virginia Eubanks argues one of those ways data is being used is not beneficial to low-income Americans. She's an associate professor of political science at the University at Albany and author of the book Automating Inequality, How High-Tech Tools Profile, Police, and Punish the Poor. So I spoke with her via Skype and asked her to clarify her argument that basically governments are using data in ways that could theoretically be helpful, but in practice, for some populations anyway, they aren't so helpful.
What I write about in the book is that we're building a digital poorhouse with these sort of new high-tech tools that we're using in public services. So we're having a really interesting cultural conversation right now about artificial intelligence and predictive analytics and other stuff like this, but it tends to be pretty abstract. So the goal of the book is to really bring the conversations down to earth by telling three stories about how automated decision making is impacting people in poor and working class communities right now.
And am I right that you basically look at how people are having their data collected and in some cases used against them when they're trying to collect public benefits?
Yeah, so I talk about three stories in the book. And I argue that while like the intentions of these designers of the systems might be really good, that often these technologies run on what I think of as like the deep cultural programming of our country. So specifically the idea that public services should act more as a moral thermometer, like a way to diagnose who's deserving of help and who isn't, rather than a universal floor that is should be under us all.
So is the problem itself in your mind the technology or the way the technology is being used by government?
So that's one of the snake biting its tail questions, right? So the technology is shaped by our culture and our politics, and then it goes on to shape our culture and our politics. So there, that's one of the things that I really ask people to think deeply about, which is about how these things are related to each other, right? We wouldn't have ended up with the technology systems that we have if we didn't already have a public service system that is most focused on profiling, policing, and punishing poor folks rather than providing support. At the same time, these systems are actually, even though we think of them as sort of objective and neutral, they have moral and political assumptions built right into them.
So is there a way, do you think, to be able to use data and maybe try to make the application process and the adjudication process and maybe the fulfillment process of public benefits more efficient without maybe using data to eliminate people who maybe shouldn't be eliminated from receiving those benefits?
Yeah, so one of my great fears in this book is that we're actually using these technologies to avoid some of the most pressing moral and political dilemmas of our time. So sometimes I fear that these systems are being used as empathy overrides, right? That we're actually facing a lot of really difficult decisions as a country around economic inequality and racial inequality.
In some ways, though, isn't it almost maybe more fair to not have a person and their subjectivity in on the process? Like somebody either meets the guidelines or doesn't. And, you know, you don't have a human being who can be swayed one way or the other or maybe, you know, does something that they shouldn't do and allow somebody on who maybe shouldn't be there. If you have a machine, it seems a little more cut and dry.
Yeah, so that's a really good question. I have this great buddy named Joe Soss, who's a political scientist, lives in the Midwest. And he talks about human discretion. He says human discretion is like energy. It can't be created or destroyed. It simply gets moved. And that's actually what's happening in these systems, is that we're not actually removing human discretion. We're just moving who has discretion and what they have control over. So we're actually moving discretion and bias from frontline public employees to the data scientists, the engineers, and the administrators who are building these systems.
Are the problems that you identify with artificial intelligence and big data and how it's applied to low-income people, is it just applied to low-income people? I mean, it seems like this might be an issue that a lot of people could potentially run into.
Yeah, that's a really important question. So one of the things, first, I want to say when I talk about poor and working people, I'm talking about the majority of Americans. what I'm seeing now is after 50 years of experimenting on poor and working class families, the architects of these systems are now aiming for middle class entitlement programs. So programs like Social Security, disability, unemployment, Medicare. And if you look at the new budget proposal, yeah, actually, most of the attention we've heard around this proposal has been about, around the cuts. But one of the things you'll see is that the federal government actually proposes that it'll save close to $200 billion in middle-class entitlement programs by paying more attention to fraud, reducing improper payments, and basically collecting and sharing a lot more data.
It seems like it would be kind of a difficult argument to make, though, that you don't want to try to get fraud out of the system, that you don't want to make sure that services that don't happen are getting paid for. I mean, how do you try to walk that line between finding efficiencies and making sure that the system is operating as it should, while not penalizing people and not maybe kicking people off the rolls or denying them benefits that they're entitled to?
So many of these programs like supplemental nutrition assistance program, the food stamps program, have incredibly low fraud rates. And so I do think that sometimes we get into these anti-fraud arms races in public service programs where really we're just spending a ton of time, energy, and resources chasing a problem, trying to get it to zero. When in other areas, like in taxes or in Social Security, we accept that a certain percentage of fraud is inevitable. And I think we need to design these systems with our values in mind. And efficiency certainly should be among them, but so should justice and equity and fair process and democracy.
Virginia Eubanks is an associate professor of political science at the University at Albany and author of the book Automating Inequality, How High-Tech Tools Profile, Police, and Punish the Poor. Virginia, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.